Joining us now, our two regular guest political commentators, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the Weekly Standard. Happy New Year to both of you.
And Happy New Year.
E.J., do you think John Edwards has something important to say to the American people, especially the regular ones he likes to talk about?
Well, I'm going to represent regular people, and if you don't believe me, I'll sue you. I mean, he is the first serious trial lawyer to run for president, and that's going to be very interesting because Republicans have always had this notion that trial lawyers are terrible people who take money away from others. Whereas in the South, there's this tradition of trial lawyers as populists who represent average people against big companies. That gives him his sort of populist credentials, even though it also made him a millionaire. I think the Southern part really is important. Mike Joyce, who used to be president of the Bradley Foundation, once said that in the 19th century, Democrats won by nominating Northern men of Southern conviction, meaning Northerners who could appeal to the other side, the base of the other side. Lately, Democrats have won by nominating Southern men of Northern convictions, and as that piece said, that's kind of what John Edwards is.
Edwards joins Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, Howard Dean of Vermont, with Joe Lieberman in the wings, possibly Tom Daschle, Dick Capphart, possibly Senator Graham of Florida. David Brooks, which in this field is the one that is Karl Rove's worst nightmare?
Karl Rove is sleeping soundly these days. I don't know that from reporting. I'm conjecturing. I think the key fact of the Democratic race is with Al Gore gone, there's no frontrunner. And that means, in the first place, that the blood-sucking opportunists don't know which bandwagon to jump on, which is fun to watch them. But it also means you get a proliferation of mid-level candidates because you get a lot of people saying, hey, I'm as good as those guys, and they join the race. I wouldn't shortchange Edwards, though. First of all, he's got the magic. If you watch him campaign, when somebody comes up in his line of vision, he does what Clinton did, which is he gets 6 inches from their faces and he gives them the full beam. That's a natural talent that not everybody has. And aside from his southernness, that's going to be useful. Yeah.
Senator Edwards told the New York Times, the fact that I see issues through the eyes of regular people is an enormous strength. Look at the way I reacted when I saw those planes going into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. The first thing I asked was, where's Elizabeth? Where are my kids? People wanted to know whether their kids were safe. Do people feel a lack of this? Do you I mean, when you talk to voters, I mean, do they need to have a president again whom they can say, he thinks he feels the way I feel and think?
There's a consultant in the Democratic Party named Bob Shrum who advises everybody to run as one of the populists against the powerful. Mm. To me, this is just bogus on the part of most of their cases. John Edwards is a very intelligent, very sophisticated multimillionaire from the Senate. He's not a populist running against the elite. He should be who he is. And unfortunately, at the start of his campaign, he hasn't been that. He's a very clever politician, though, voted with Bush on the war against Iraq, presumed war against Iraq, has very cleverly attacked the American Bar Association to show his independence from the lawyers. He's a clever guy. A populist, he is not.
Although EJ. I think that what, you know, when David talks about his similarities to Clinton, that's true. Some of what gives some ground for this regular guy appeal, he is the first guy in his family to go to college. He was brought up poor. I think that that does help him in a Democratic primary. Interesting thing is how candidates have come out of the woodwork and gotten stronger, and why I think Edwards jumped in earlier. Howard Dean is becoming, I think, a very serious candidate. He's some combination of Gene McCarthy and Bruce Babbitt and George McGovern. He's got some real support in the grassroots.
This is Howard Dean of Vermont, governor, doctor by training.
Correct, just like Bill Frist. And then John Kerry, I think, made very good use of the last year. And another reason I think Edwards needed to jump in now is this talk about Senator Bob Graham of Florida. That's a very interesting potential candidacy because Graham has been early on very clear in his stand, both on the war, which he opposed, but also in criticizing the Bush administration on Homeland Security and being out front in criticizing the FBI and the CIA. So I think that Senator Edwards decided not to wait, and maybe Bob Graham will decide to stay in the Senate.
David, I accept your supposition that Karl Rove is sleeping soundly nowadays, but if he thinks back to that long vote count of 2000, if the Pacific Coast and New England remain essentially Democratic, if the Mid-Atlantic states remain basically Democratic, why wouldn't he be troubled a bit by the thought of a battle for the upper Midwest or the border South that actually could reveal this to be perhaps not such a solid presidency as it appears right now?
Well, you know, the Republicans did phenomenally well in this last election. They got 53-47. They won by that. That's not a huge margin. Listen, the thing that should keep Karl Rove up not is not whether John Edwards is going to run a good campaign. It's whether Don Rumsfeld will run a good war. The war is going to intervene in between this, and it's going to scramble everything. Either the war will go badly with Iraq, in which case Howard Dean won't be left-wing enough. Sean Penn will come back and be president. Or else it'll go very well, in which case the entire field will be scrambled, and Joe Lieberman will look pretty good.
And there's an economy as well here.
That's right. I've been struck by these polls that show Bush ahead by margins like 55 to 40 over Kerry. That's a big margin. It's not that big. 55% for a popular incumbent isn't huge. One of the reasons all these Democrats are jumping in is they look back before 1992. Lots of people said, Bush the father can't be beaten. And they figure, why should we make that mistake again? Let's take the chance we might be able to take the guy.
E.J. Dionne and David Brooks, thank you both very much for talking with us once again.
Thank you.